Carrie Robinson and Betty Ann Donnelly are two extraordinary Catholic women who've made charity a passionate part of their lives. Both Carrie and Betty Ann are members of private U.S. philanthropic foundations which support the Catholic Church and its activities year-round. Well, we sat down to talk about their work and Pope Benedict's Lenten message for 2008, which focuses so heavily on charity and the need to embrace giving as a lifetime commitment. I began by asking Carrie, whose foundation has aided the church from the local parish to the international level, if she thought the Pope's message was in any way directed to her.
I see it entirely directed to me and receive it with a tremendous amount of gratitude. In my own case, I am a member of the RASCOB Foundation for Catholic Activities, which was started by my great-grandparents 65 years ago. And they wanted all of their resources to be used to advance the many apostolates of the Catholic Church on a local, national, and international level. But they also wanted their children and descendants to be stewards of the foundation's resources. Consequently, I have over 100 cousins who are actively engaged in making site visits to a variety of Catholic charities, dioceses, parishes, schools, social justice organizations, and review proposals and determine which ones would most benefit from the foundation's resources. Every one of my cousins would agree with me that we have been the beneficiaries because this instrument of the philanthropic foundation has allowed us to see the church at her very best at the local, national, and international level.
And Betty Ann?
Our Mary J. Donnelly Foundation, which is based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is a much smaller family foundation, but we are also blessed. It's named for my great aunt, who adopted my father and his brother and sister when they were left orphaned. Their mother died in childbirth, and their father died shortly after of pneumonia. So my father and his sister were ever grateful to Aunt Mary for her generosity and have decided to give of their resources, and I'm a trustee. Very much with, as Carrie said, we were steeped as children in the notion of stewardship, that just very fundamentally, you don't have to be from a wealthy family to have this idea that you assess all the graces and blessings that you've been given in your life, and then you give accordingly back. And I was very happy to see the Pope's Lenten message on charity. The U.S. bishops have written on this, the whole concept of stewardship. We have a notion in the U.S. Church that charitable giving is not something which just applies for Band-Aids, but really works for systemic social justice and giving generously of your means for those who don't have as much.
We live in a very highly consumeristic world. Everybody wants the latest iPod, the latest car model, a big, beautiful house, maybe even with a swimming pool. I mean, people work hard to make money to be able to possess these things. But in his message, Pope Benedict is saying that these are things that are temporary, that, as you say, we are stewards of these possessions, of these worldly things. But it's a hard message to get out, isn't it? This message of sharing.
I certainly think in the United States there's been more and more discussion of this, of inculcating the idea of stewardship in children. The idea of asking children at Christmas to try to choose a cause or a charity that they would like to give to, having children investigate different organizations that they would like to give to, so that they have a sense that instead of spending X number of dollars for the latest dress or blouse, that the more and more, and that's the wonderful thing about the internet and just the global society that's developing, you see on the nightly news what's going on in Africa right now, and you just are stopped dead in your tracks. Why should I be spending this money on my family when these brothers and sisters of ours in Africa are going without.
Carrie, it seems to me there is a small trend in the U.S. towards this giving and this sharing. I'm thinking in particular of Microsoft's Bill Gates and the financial tycoon Warren Buffett, who have decided to give up very large sums of money to various charities and institutions. Do you see this as something that is slowly changing in American society?
I would actually take it a step further and say that it is a large, growing, and wonderful trend. Donors, especially Catholic donors, are becoming increasingly sophisticated about their philanthropy. I think you see this reflected across the board in terms of the kinds of philanthropy that is happening in the United States, whether it's Catholic or secular. But there are efforts to make very wise investments, philanthropic investments, to maximize capacity, to leverage opportunities. And I think this is a wonderful response to Pope Benedict's Lenten message to us.
It's very much a part of the U.S. culture. The people in the United States are very generous. And it's interesting, I used to work in Latin America. There's just not that same culture of charitable giving. And I know that a number of years ago, the Ford Foundation had a project to try to inculcate and to help advance, spur that sense of private philanthropy in Latin America. We have some very wealthy families, obviously. But in the United States, it's very exciting. It's very much a part of the culture. And when you first asked the question, I was thinking the Gates Foundation has supported some Catholic causes. For example, there's a very exciting new network of high schools in the U.S. called the Cristo Rey Network of High Schools. 19 of them now are around the country. Provide a high school education for the poorest of the poor in inner cities, mostly Latino and African-American students. The Gates Foundation have embraced the Cristo Rey schools as a very effective network by which in these schools kids go to school, have excellent academics, but they also work at a local business one day a week.
And you said these are Catholic schools?
These are Catholic schools. Mm-hmm. The first one was started by a Jesuit in Chicago along the model of a Jesuit high school, but the Cristo Rey model is not necessarily Ignatian, not necessarily Jesuit, and it's been embraced. There's 19 of them now, all in inner city areas across the country, and the Gates Foundation sees that the graduation rate at the Cristo Rey schools, this has all happened in the last 10, 12 years, is 98-99%. These are in neighborhoods where the high school graduation rate is less than 50%. So it's a model that worked because the kids work one day a week at a local business. There's a mentoring relationship. Someone at the business has to mentor the kids. And so the kids see where they can go after high school. They get a sense of the value of staying in school. And a lot of the mentors continue to support the kids as they go to college. It's a very effective model.
Before the Gates Foundation became involved with Cristo Rey, though, one man, B.J. Kassin, a prominent Catholic philanthropist, recognized the efficacy of the Cristo Rey example in Chicago. And he, in a very strategic and an incredibly effective and inspiring manner, invested in the model so that it could expand across the country. I look at a man like B.J. Kassin as the kind of philanthropist we should all be emulating, even if we have modest means ourselves.
He is so self-effacing, you would never know anything about it, and he has just spread this model across the country. It's fabulous.
Well, in fact, what would you invite people to do who don't have the wonderful resources that you have at your disposal?
I think it goes beyond giving of financial resources and gets more to the heart of what the Pope is advocating that we do. And that is to recognize that everything one has been given, all of one's talents, skills, experiences, privileges, are a direct gift from God, because we are so loved by God. And that recognition prompts us to give generously and selflessly of our time, of our particular expertise, of our resources, to improve the lives of others.
I would like to include, though, that in terms of the concept of charity, we really should be looking also at, as I said, more systemic ways of changing, addressing poverty, both domestic in the United States and globally. I think of a group like Bread for the World, which is a ecumenical lobbying group in Washington that gets Christians, mainline Protestants, and Catholics who are concerned about poverty to look at legislative handles. For example, they were part of this whole effort that worked on debt relief in Africa. The elementary school participation in Uganda after Uganda got debt relief tripled. Now, if you're looking for bang for your buck, if you're looking for charity that you're going to be able to affect poverty in Africa, why wouldn't you try to look at that legislative piece? And so the idea is to get Christians to write to their congresspeople and to get them to sign off and to support legislation that addresses poverty both in the U.S. and globally. And, you know, charitable giving, we're always looking for more efficacy, and that's pretty efficacious.
Betty Ann and I belong to foundations which in turn belong to a consortium of private Catholic family foundations in the United States called FADICA, Foundations and Donors Interested in Catholic Activities. FADICA is more than 30 years old now, and it had its genesis in this recognition that if the foundation community introduced themselves to one another, we could learn about the pressing needs facing the Catholic Church, be more strategic and collaborative in our grant making, and hopefully make a greater difference by our charitable donations directly impacting the life and vitality and vibrancy of the Catholic Church.
What, for example, would be some of these institutions that would have benefited from some of your charitable work?
I think it's everything from the local parish experience of life to more strategic international efforts, such as helping to rebuild the Catholic Church in Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union. FADICA has done a number of proactive activities such as assist the plight of elderly religious, particularly religious women, in the United States and now abroad. It has helped Catholic schools be more strategic, better managed, and most recently, something near and dear to my heart, the funding community was a major player in the founding of the National Leadership Roundtable on Church Management.
And one of the things that FADICA has really focused on is, at least in the United States, we have the phenomena where so many Catholic institutions, education, hospitals, social services, that were previously run by priests and sisters are now staffed and managed by lay people. And we want to make sure that those lay people have a sense of the great rich tradition, the Catholic tradition. And so FADICA has partnered with a lot of Catholic colleges and universities to provide management training programs, both degree programs and short workshops, so that Catholic laity who are now running Catholic institutions can get more information and increase their own sense of the Catholic faith and the Catholic tradition.
Betty Ann Donnelly, trustee of the Mary J. Donnelly Foundation, and Carrie Robinson of the Raskob Foundation, both among the 50 members of FADICA, Foundations and Donors Interested in Catholic Activities, a consortium of private Catholic family foundations in the U.S.